the last several shiurim, the Pope is in the different rules that the Torah gives us, what to do when you have a situation of a safek. So we spoke about the rules of rov, rules of chazaka, how the rules sometimes interact with one another, contradict one another. We spoke about the imamunas and the asurim. Now we're going to move on to the next level of what to do when you have a safek, which is in a certain sense sort of the highest possible rule we could have. And that's the rule of Shnei Edim. So we know this principle. Apishnai Edim Yochum Davar. The two Edim are about as good as a beer as you could possibly have. So two Edim are necessary in the realm of the Nemominus, and two Edim are necessary in the realm of Nefashos. Two Edim are necessary in the realm of Arayus as well. There's one or two areas where two Edim are not necessary. We'll talk about those separately. But the general rule in Halacha is that two Edim carry the day. The question becomes, what if, notwithstanding the fact that we have two Edim, we have a contradiction within two Edim? Namely, we have two Edim saying in one direction, and we have two Edim saying in a different direction. So then what do? When you have a stereo, when you have a contradiction of Edim, then where do you go? So here there are two distinct areas of Halacha that deal with such a situation when you have a stereo, a contradiction between two sets of Edim. One is the principle of Edim Zomim, and one is the principle of Edim HaChosha. So Edim Zomim is a very unique situation. So Din HaTorah that appears in Pasha Shoftim, where the Torah tells us that when one set of Edim walks into Beis Din and testifies, Reuven killed Shimon, or they testify that Reuven owes $100 to Shimon. Another set of Edim come and say, we're not addressing the question whether Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. We're not addressing the question whether Reuven killed Shimon or not. So we don't know, maybe yeah, maybe no. But we're questioning your ability to be able to make such a statement because of the two magic words that are called Imanu HaYisem. You are with us. Well, let's say, now normally when Edim testify, they have to testify exactly where the event took place. They have to testify exactly when the Edis took place. So Beis Din asks them a whole series of questions. There are seven Chakiras. There are seven questions. What year was it? What month was it? What day is it? Day of the week, etc. What place? So we know, we pinpoint exactly where the Edis took place. And now the question is, if the Reuven and Shimon just testified that Levi killed Yehuda in Brooklyn on 2:38 in the afternoon on Tuesday, so two other Edim walk in, the David and Moshe walk in and say, maybe he did kill him, maybe he didn't kill him, but you didn't see it, because Iman Ra'isim, you were in California at that exact moment in time. So that's the first Mishnah Maseches Makos, the principle called Iman Ra'isim, the principle called Edim Zomim. So Edim Zomim, in a certain sense, the Chiddush HaTorah, because Edim Zomim, we believe the second set of Edim, we don't believe the first set of Edim. The second set of Edim are believed to such an extent that the first set of Edim are actually punished. They're either killed or they're given malchus or they pay money. Whatever the original set of Edim were planning on doing to the Nidon, that's the punishment that's meted out to them. That's the Parsha Satir of Edim Zomim. Somebody just showed me last week, I don't know how they found this, they found like some set of rules from like New England from the 1700s or something. They had a series of different rules and customs that were prevalent in those days, and they found Mamshei Edim Zomim. It said that if somebody testifies that John breaks Jim's plow, so John will have to pay a plow or whatever it was. Mamshei right out of the Chumash, the founding father stole it right out of Pasha Shoftim. So the din is that Edim Zomim is in a certain sense a Chiddush HaTorah, because logically it really doesn't make any sense. Why should you believe the second set over the first set? Maybe the first set is not the truth. So that's the Chiddush HaTorah. So there is a machlokes in the Rishonim, just how big of a Chiddush is Edim Zomim? How much does it really define logic? The principle of the principle of Edim Zomim. So there is a Gemara that appears in Maseches Bava Kamma in the seventh parak, a machlokes in Abaye and Rava. When normally we have a rule that when someone does an aveira that he becomes a rasha for, say a guy kills someone, a guy steals, robs a bank, he does some kind of an aveira that he becomes a rasha for. So he becomes possibly atheist. He can no longer testify in any subsequent case as well. At what point does he become a rasha? So he becomes a rasha from the point that he did the aveira. So let's say if we know that Reuven robbed the bank at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, so any edus that he gives from 2 o'clock in the afternoon onwards is an edus that's possible. We know that Reuven killed Shimon 2 o'clock on Monday, so any edus that he gives from that point on is possible. He's not caught until a week later, so we're going to have problems. Basically, we're going to have to go back on the records and see, was there any testimony that he gave in those couple of days? We're going to have to disqualify that testimony. We're going to have to uproot that testimony even retroactively. So that's the halacha that that any edus that's given post the time of the Aveira, that edus is an edus that's posel. So comes the Gemara and has a machlekes Abai and Rava. What's the din when it comes to Edom Zomim? Let's say Reuven and Shimon testify on Sunday afternoon about a certain case, and they're not caught until a few days later. They're not caught until another set of Edom come and amazim them and say, Imanu Hayisim. So the question is, do we go retroactively also? Do we say that now it turns out the Mafreid and any Edus that the first set of Edom said from Sunday, because Sunday was the Shas Aveira, Sunday was the moment that they lied in days then. So any Edus that was given from Sunday through Thursday, we have to retroactively cancel. Do we say that or not? So Abai says, yeah, of course we say that. Edzer and the Mafreid and if so. Just as the guy who robbed the bank, just as the guy who killed somebody, is possible the Mafreya is retroactively disqualified, so to Eid Zomim are retroactively disqualified as well. And Rava says no. Rava says Eid Zomim is different. Why is Eid Zomim different? Rava says Eid Zomim chidushu, and Eid Luchal Mishas chidushu ve'elach. Rava says that Eid Zomim is such a tremendous chidush Torah. It really doesn't make any sense. The whole pasuk of Eid Zomim doesn't make any sense. Why should you believe the second set over the first set? So since it's such a chiddush, we have to limit the scope of the chiddush, and the edim are only possible from the point that they're actually discovered and onwards. So that's the din min haTorah. Then the Gemara revamps Rav a little bit, but according to that side of the Gemara, the Abai and Rav having machlokes on the love of the Araisa. Do we say that the Ein Zomim is possible in Mafreya? That's what Abai says, because he's treating Ein Zomim basically like other Averos, so it's possible in Mafreya. But do we say like Rav that it's a chiddushu and mechiddush on the chayel mishas chiddush ve'elach? So we have the Paskin like Abai. This is one of the very few cases, one of the six cases of the Al-Hakams that we Paskin like Abai. 99% of the time we Paskin like Rava, six exceptions to the rule. I remember once, one of the early years, I was saying Shia and YU. I was still saying a BMP Shia. So we had a boy in my Shia. And you know, he didn't come across looking like the greatest Tamachochum. Like, you know, he was a regular kid, whatever. So we were sitting in the back of the Shia and we were learning. I wasn't learning in Kiddushin at the time. And we came across one of the Al-Hakams. So I asked us to see a show of hands, who here knows what the Al-Hakams are, the six cases? So nobody knew. Nobody knew. So, one kid knew Yerusha Midas, and one or two cases, but nobody knew. It wasn't this kid who was half sleeping out here. He raised his hand and he says, Rebbe, Yerusha Midas, it's a affair of Salah. And I ran a mummish like that, mummish with a second, and roused him off. So I went up to him, I said, you know, Bimachilas, Kvarcha, how'd you know him so well? So he says to me, I look like a regular modern kid. I said, okay. He said, well, let me tell you a secret. I grew up in Yerushalayim. I went to Chayda in Yerushalayim. I said, and we learned the Yalkagam. We learned the lie. I learned the 500 plot when I was 8 years old. So I knew the Yalkagam in my heart. So now I did a little transformation now, but I guess the youngest. So. Anyway. So get back to the story. So we have the Basel and Gabay. This is one of the six cases that we follow Abai. So the question is, when we follow Abaye, what Nakuda do we disagree with? Why does Abaye disagree with Rava? Rava says that Eid Zomim is a Chiddush, and therefore you only follow the Chiddush from the time when they're discovered. What Nakuda does Abaye disagree with? So you can understand Abaye one of two ways. Either Abaye holds that Rava's right, that it's a Chiddush, but Abaye says the Chiddush goes to Mafreya also. Or you can say, no, that Abaye holds Eid Zomim is not a Chiddush. Maybe the Nakuda Selachlekis in Abaye and Rava is about Eid Zomim proper. It's not about whether you go back with the Chiddush or not, but it's a Machlekis, is Eid Zomim a Chiddush? So that's a Machlekis to Rambam in the tour. So the Rambam writes that Eid Zomim is a Chiddush. The Rambam quotes Rava and says, Eid Zomim is a Gevaldik Chiddush. It doesn't make any sense. We never would have figured it out on our own. But Abaye Bichain, we pass it out to Mafreya and if so, because we all did, even make Chiddushim, you could say Lemafreya. And the Torah writes now, the Torah says, the reason why we hold like Abaye is because we fundamentally hold that Eid Zomim is not a Chiddush. Why is Eid Zomim not a Chiddush? So the Torah explains, because if you would have two sets of Eidim, each arguing about whether Reuven broke Shimon's window or not, that would talk about an unbelievable Chiddush to believe the second set. Doesn't make any sense. Two Eidim are saying Reuven did break the window. Two Eidim are saying he didn't break the window. So, Mehecha takes the one's right. But, says the Torah, the second set of Eidim are not addressing the Eidim. They're not addressing the window being broken. They're addressing the kashrus of the first set of Eidim. They're saying, Yimanu Hayisem. So the Torah says, Moshe L'mondo V'nome. It's like if two Eidim walk in the Beis Din and say, how could you guys testify? You guys are bank robbers. How could you guys testify? You guys are murderers. So they're being made on the Gufa Eidim. Now the Gufa Eidim can't testify about themselves. They can't respond because a person is possible to testify about himself. So it turns out whenever you have an Yimanu Hayisem, so Yimanu Hayisem is not an Eidus on the facts of the case. And Imanu Hayisem is conceptually a machlekes on the kashrus of the Eidim. So now it's not a 2-on-2 anymore. It's a 2-on-nothing. Because the first set of Eidim have no nemanis about themselves. second set of Edom have all the Nemonis in the world. So therefore, the Torah writes the second set of Edom are believed hands down. It's not a Chiddush HaTorah. If it's not a Chiddush HaTorah, then I understand why. L'mafreyo nivso. Is this obvious? Why does the Rambam disagree? Isn't the Torah Sfar make a lot of sense? How can Abai possibly disagree? Isn't it obvious? How can Rav disagree? Isn't it obvious that the second set of Edom are testifying on the first set of Edom? So the answer is not so obvious. If the second set of Edom would say, you're Gazlonim, you're Rotzchim, you're Mechal Shabbos, so that would have to be an Edus on the Gufa Edom. The saying Yimanu Yisim. What is the meaning of Yimanu Yisim? I walk the base and I say, Reuben and Shimon were with us on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. So what? What kind of statement? Who cares? Bezin's listing saying, might have come in with him. Reuben and Shimon were with us at 2 o'clock. It's only relevant because Reuben and Shimon gave an Eidus at 2 o'clock on Tuesday. So Imanu Yisim is right smack in the middle. Imanu Yisim is not quite Gazalonim at them. It's not a direct Eidus on the Gufa Eidim. On the other hand, it's not a direct Eidus on the Eidus itself because they're not addressing the fact whether the window was broken. It's Mamish right smack in the middle. It's Imanu Yisim, which can be interpreted either to be synonymous with an Eidus on the Eidus, or it's synonymous with an Eidus on the Eidim. Can't tell. So that's the Nekudas of Machlokes to Rambam in the Torah. But I call upon him, everybody agrees that an Eidim Zomim. There's no question Eidim Zomim works. There's no question the second set of Eidim are believed. The Torah is Vadai. The question is it Chiddush HaTorah or not, is unclear. But one thing is also clear, that if the second set of Eidim say, they argue on the facts, they say that Reuben did not break the window, or Reuben did not tell Shimon, that is not Eidim Zomim. That you don't punish the first set of Eidim. What do? That's what's called Eidi HaKosha. So Lahachish means to contradict. When you have Eidi HaKosha, so we just throw everybody out the window and call it a draw. So comes Taisus with a question in a few places. Taisus in Mavakam, Taisus in Basra, is bothered with a very basic question. Taisus says, how come there's a din of Eidi HaKosha in the Torah? How come the Gemara says, Beferish, that when the second set of Edom contradict the first sets of Edom, so we throw them out, everybody gets thrown out, everybody just walks out, and the case is closed. Yes, tells us, why don't we believe the second set of Edom, Migo, that they could have said that the first set of Edom was Omen? So the same way we had a principle of Migo we spoke about in the previous year, I'm not going to talk with you, and I advance a taina that in and of itself is not really believed. I respond, it's all about Migo, right? It's all about Migo. That I say to you, you owe me $100. So if you would say, I don't owe you $100, I never saw you, I don't know who you are, so that's called Kofer HaKol, then you believe that's the best time you can give. You're Kofer HaKol, and the Torah, you walk scot free, there's no shmur, there's no tashlum, nothing. But let's say you don't say Kofer HaKol. You give the following story. I say, Reuben, you owe me $100 because you broke my window. So Reuben says, well, that's true, I did break your window. And yes, it's true, the window was worth $100. But it happens to be that last year I worked for you and you never paid me and you owe me $100. I couldn't get the money from you. I tried and knocked my head against the wall. So I decided to break your window instead. So that time is a ridiculous time. That's not a response. You shouldn't win the dintar with that response. You were murdered, you broke the window, so you have to pay the money. You gave me what's called mischayav to kinegdo. You told me that the reason why you broke the window is because of X, Y, and Z. Remember when we first learned this sugya, Rabbi Shechter, many years ago? So he used to always say that when Reuben says to Shimon, you broke my window, if Shimon says, I didn't break your window, so fine, that's the response of Kofer HaKol. But if Reuben says to Shimon, you broke my window, and Shimon says, the cow jumped over the moon, that was always his mashal, the cow jumped over the moon, and he landed in your fence, and he like, hey, gives you 13 different steps, what happened? And then, by the way, you owe me $100 or something else. That was always his mashal, the cow jumped over the moon. So in the Bechin, I think the boys wrote, that what's amigo? Like, amigo is a cow jumped over the moon. So if the response is not a direct time, the response is only Nema because of 15,000 other things, so that's what's called amigo, and amigo works. Amigo is also valid. Amigo is Mishnayos, Gemaras, throughout the Ksubas and Vasra, there's a concept in Allah called amigo. So comes Taisus to ask the question, every time Edom contradict the first set of Edom, let's believe the second set. Migo, they could have said Imanu Yisem. If they would have said Imanu Yisem, the Taka would have been believed. So now let's say, let them be believed to say, Reuven did not kill Shimon. Let's say Reuven did kill Shimon, Reuven did say the money, whatever it is. Always believe the second Edom and throw out the first Edom, because Migo that they could have said the first Edom were Edom's omen. So Taisus says that's not such a good Migo. You know why? Because Migo always means that it's perfectly simple for me to say the other taina. I have two possible tainas in front of me. Either I could say I didn't break the window, or I could say the cow jumped over the moon. And I don't lose anything either way. And it's simple. I stand to gain and lose from each one of those tainas. It's the same $100. So that's called amigo. But what if I'm afraid to say the other taina? I'd much rather say Taina X, and I don't want to risk saying Taina Y, because Taina Y may potentially cost me down the line. So Taisa says that it's Ois Migo. Migo means that because I have the just the simple to say either one of the Tainas, then I have Namanos on either one of the Tainas. But if there's something that's compelling me to say one over the other, then that undermines the entire principle of Migo. So Taisa writes, two aid to walk the base, and they have two Tainas in front of them, two responses in front of them. Either they could say Imanu Yisem, or they can argue about the facts of the case. Which one is better for them to say? So it's much safer to argue about the facts of the case. There's nothing to lose. But if they argue about the Imanu Yisem, then they're mamash up the creek. Why? Because they're setting themselves up to become Edim Zomim also. Because if they say Imanu Yisem to the first set of Edim, and then another set of Edim come and say, no, how can you say Imanu Yisem with them? You Imanu Yisem with us. So they're going to become Edim Zomim also. So they may end up getting killed. They may end up having to pay $100. They may end up getting malchus. So every time you're mazim a set of Edim, you're opening yourself up for the window of becoming Edim Zomim also. Those are remember the sukkahs from Malchus, Zomin, Zomin, you can have Zomin, Zomin, at the end of eternity, you can have Zomin. So therefore, Taisa says that it's not a good Migo. So Taisa then revamps the Migo and says, okay, so forget that Migo, scratch that Migo. Let's let the second set of Aiden be believed to argue about the facts of the case. Migo, they could have said, Gazlona Matem. To say Gazlona Matem, that's not so terrible. Or Migo, you Michal Shabbos. Migo, you were something else. So that's not so bad. So to say they could have apostled the first set of Aiden by saying the Gazlona, they could have said they did another event, whatever the case may be. So that's the case, as Taisa says. Let's believe every second set of Aiden. Migo, they could have said that. So that's Taisa's Kasha. Migo, they could say X. Let's believe them to say Y. And that's clearly not the Din. Clearly, the halach is the most of the fairish, when you have trey or trey, when you have a set of edim, one set of edim against another, and they be machish each other on the facts of the case, we throw everybody out of Beis Din. So, Frekta is a kasha. Why do you throw everybody out of Beis Din? Except the second set, make the first set possible b'toras vaday. Let the second set be kosher. Let the seventh set be believed. Migo that could have said there's a lot of matem. So, Taisa is searching. Taisa is looking to try to figure out why. What's the answer to that kasha? What's the answer to that dilemma? So Taisa suggests a few important answers, and Rishanda suggests a few important answers, which really set, in a sense, some of the basic klal in terms of edus. So we're not just learning sugyas of hazama right now. This is really the introduction to some of the principles, some of the requirements, the prerequisites of hilchos edus. So Taisa suggests one answer that we touched on a little bit earlier on this year. Taisa says that when you have a trey or trey, when you have two Edom saying Reuven broke the window, and two Edom saying Reuven didn't break the window, so you've reached the highest possible level of Biror that you could ever reach. Two Edom, a Pishnai Edom. There's no such thing as anything higher than two Edom, or higher. What's the din if you have two Edom against three Edom? So trey kimei, it doesn't matter. If two Edom say Reuven killed Shimon, and five Edom say otherwise, or vice versa. If two Edom say that, let's say, if 100 Edom say that Reuven killed Shimon, and two Edom say Reuven didn't kill Shimon, so trey kimei, it's a stalemate. Once you reach the point of having two Edom, it's trey kimei. There's nothing you can add on to the equation to make it better. So Taisa says, what's the nature of that din of trey kimei? Why did Gemara have to pass it in the Sefer Machlokes? Why is it that there's a principle called trey kimei? Why is it that once you reach two Edom, you can't get any higher? So Taisa says, once you've reached the ultimate level of Biror, so then how can you be Mavara more? It's like I always give the mushroom and shear, say it's a supersaturated, oversaturated solution. When you add on more, you reach a point where it doesn't help anymore. The more you add, nothing happens anymore. You've reached the ultimate level of Biror. So you're going to throw in another Eid, you've reached the point of two Edom. Two Edom have already been thrown out because they've been contradicted by two other Edom. So what's it going to help to add on a few more Edom? So that's what Taisa says here also, that you've reached two and two. So if the draw is out of the blackboard, so you have two Edom on the side that Reuven owes Shimon $100, two Edom on the side that Reuven doesn't owe Shimon $100. You're going to throw an amigo on one side. So you're going to have, what's the din? Two Edom plus amigo, is that greater than two Edom or equal to two Edom? So the answer is, it's equal to two Edom. If you have four Edom against two Edom, it's equal. 100 Edom, 1,000, a million Edom against two Edom is equal. So two Edom plus amigo is right to equal. So Trey Kameh teaches us that once you reach the point of two Edom, there's nothing you can ever add on to two Edom. That's one of the answers of Tosis. So Tosis and other answers doesn't accept that. Tosis starts searching for other reasons. What's wrong with that reason? Bechor makes a lot of sense. So Rabbi Chanan says that maybe you can learn the pshat of Trey Kameh differently. The reason why the Torah says Trey Kameh doesn't work is not because you can't add on Birurim. You can't add on more proofs. You can't add on the same proof. It's the same story. Two Eidim, Anoch, two Eidim, and another Eidim. Right? The same thing. We're nauseous already. We have as many Eidim as we want, and the two Eidim can't do the trick, so you can add on another 1,000 Eidim. It's just repeating the same pismon. There is no din you can't add on Birurim. The din of trick is you can't add on the same Birurim. But if you add on a different Birurim, it goes a different style. It goes a different twist. So I'm getting something new. It's a Chiddush that I try to win the din Torah with two Eidim. I couldn't win, so I'll throw on Migo for good luck. So that's why Tosfos is not so convinced that adding on Migo is gonna be a problem. So whereas the first Dan Tosfos understood that Trei Kamea means that once you reach two Eidim, that's it. Ad Kan V'lo Yosef. There's nothing you can ever add on to make matters better for you. The second Dan Tosfos says it's not true. There is no such principle. The principle of Trei Kamea just simply tells us is that not you can't add on Birurim, you can't add on the same Birurim. That's the problem. So Chopin Tosfos is not sure. Tosfos is not convinced what the problem is. Why exactly is this not going to work? So other Rishonim say that maybe the reason why this Migo is not going to work is based on another problem. The Torah is a Chiddush called Edom. Apishnayim Edom Yochum Dover. So what's the job of an aide? An aide is supposed to walk in the basement. He's like a tape recorder. He's a video. So he walks in the basement, and Basin asks him, what happened? He says, I saw Reuven kill Shimon. Thank you very much. When did Reuven kill Shimon? Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Where was it? In the corner of 6th Avenue and whatever. That's all the aide is supposed to say. The aide is not supposed to give us chidushim. The aide is not supposed to give us his take on the case. The aide is not supposed to read the second sentence for us. He's supposed to relay the facts of the case. We tell him, thank you very much. You gave us the facts of the case. Sit down. We don't want to hear from you anymore. That's the job of an aide. What if you have a situation where the aide cannot be believed based on his aidus alone? He has to start searching and invoking other principles of halacha in order to get him to be believed. There's some basic problem with his aidus. The only way that his aidus is going to be acceptable is if we have to start to finagle and look and start to air on things to his story. So come some Rishonim and say, that's not called aidus. Aidus means that the aide has to talk, say his piece, and sit down. We don't have to, we have to just know what did he say. We have to just make sure he's a kosher aide, that's all. But short of that, once we have to start to evaluate and say, oh, well, he didn't really mean to say this. What he really meant to say was, Migo, da 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 da. That's not Aedus anymore. Aedus, by definition, means you're only entitled to what you say. You're not entitled to add on Migos, you're not entitled to add on stories. Like, Mashal Lamad Vadim, Sami Shadim Rahim, it's a condition. Let's say an aid gives Aedus, and for some technical reason, again, it's a complicated sugya in the second back of condition. For some technical reason, his Aedus isn't really going to be Ne'eman. The only way for his Aedus to be Ne'eman is if he takes a Shavua first. Because he's in a Gebedah, so he has to take a Shavua to the removing, and again, a complicated story. So come to Rishonim and say, that's not Aedus. Any aid that requires some other level of Birur to get him off the ground, that's not an aid has to be able to stand on his own 2 feet. Anytime an aid cannot stand on his own 2 feet, he needs a Migu, he needs a Birur, he needs a Chazok, he needs a Chag, a Shmara, whatever it is. Anytime an aid is not believed based on the Aedus alone, so at Kopanim we have a few different approaches in the Rishonim to solve this technical problem. Why isn't every Eidus HaChosha automatically believed? We should automatically believe the second fellows because Migu they could have stacked us a lot of them. So either because once you have two Eidim, so you can't add on anymore, or according to the Rishonim, the Eidim, one day, once Eidim begin to speak, they have to be able to stand on their own 2 feet of Eidus. Once they have to fall back on Amigo or something, or Shul or something like that, then that's not considered to be an Eidus B'chol. But L'chayr, one could raise a question about the very question of the Rishonim. The fact that the Rishonim are bothered with this question, let every two sets of Eidim, let the seventh set be believed, Migo, Migo, they can say Gazlanim at them. So we have to stop and ask ourselves, is the question really an appropriate question in the first place? Does this really make any sense, this question that the Rishonim are asking? This idea of Migo that we spoke a little bit about in weeks gone by, the Sugas and Ksubas and Melavasa, this is a Dimin HaTorah, the Gemara's Beferish, this is a Dimin HaTorah, the principle of Migo. It's not clear where it comes from exactly, what the Machafer is, but the Gemara using it in levels there, Haisa. This idea that when a Baal Din walks into Beis Din, so he can respond with Taina A or Taina B, if he chooses to tie in A, even though A is not believed, Migo would have said B is going to be believed. This halacha of Migo throughout Ksubas and throughout the Basra, we only find between Balei Din. When Reuben is saying, you owe me $100, and Shimon says, I don't owe you $100. They have the status of Balei Din. So that's where we find the sugyas of Migo. do we ever find the parsha of Nigo by Eidim Bechlal? So maybe Nigo is something that's unique to Bali Dov, it's unique to Bali Din. It doesn't make sense in Ruchas Eidus. Not because of Taisus Din, that Ruchas Eidus doesn't permit it. Not because it's a whole Sofas Birur. For different reasons. The very concept of Nigo just doesn't get off the ground. You can begin to discuss Nigo. Ruchas Nigo itself dictates, not Ruchas Eidus that dictates it, but Ruchas Nigo itself dictates that the principle of Nigo doesn't make any sense. Why is that? So this is a throwback to the angel Chakira, what the nature of Nigo is all about. What kind of thing is this Nigo? Very strange, very modern halacha. That believing to say A because Nigo could have said B. But he didn't say B, so I don't even believe me, I could have. So there's a famous Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, and the truth is, this is not like Rabbi Chanan. This is one of those Chakiras that permeated all the yeshivas in Europe. Just the different Rosh Yeshivas use different lingos of how to say it. So it's printed up in Rabbi Chanan's code, Shirum Chalik Beis, others have it there. But the basic Chakira, although the words, depending on which part of Lithuania you came from, were a little bit different, but it's the same basic Chakira. Yesh Lachor, what's the nature of this principle of Migo? What's it all about, this idea of Migo? So one can understand that Migo is part of Ashurim, namely, it's a Birur. Migo is a proof. Migo is a way to be Bavar the Yemes. What's the Birur? The Birur is that most people, if you're going to lie, you would already say the best lie. If you're already going to lie, so you might as well say the most believable lie. It would be very silly for you to lie and tell your story. The cow jumped over the moon. You borrowed $1,000 from me last week. That's why I broke you into it. That's a very ridiculous sounding lie. That doesn't make any sense. You have such an easier lie to say. What's the easier lie to say? I didn't break your window. So when you have two tithers in front of us, one is a very straightforward, simple lie, and one is a convoluted lie. You have to ask all those liars. You got to check, make a statistics of all the people who lie and ask them. If you're going to lie, you might as well lie the simplest, straightforward lie. Why should you lie something that's going to put your foot in your mouth and make you sound ridiculous? So the fact that you did tell that ridiculous story, that's a proof that you're probably telling the truth. Because since you could have lied, and you have two tithers, you have two paths in front of you, each one is a lie, a potential lie. So the fact that you chose the convoluted one rather than the simple one, that goof is indicative of the fact that you're probably telling the truth. This is all assuming that this person never learned the Chosmigo. If he learned the Chosmigo, then he knows that if I lie the straight lie, they won't believe me, so I lie the convoluted. So you have the Beis Din go between the Beis Din and the Bali Din, trying to figure this out. I remember, I think we were learning Maseches Makos, so we were learning some kind of a wild Nigo and this and that, a crazy case, and ties this, ties that, and I think. So Rabbi Yosef Eibershitz had a whole razzle-dazzle, in the Sefer Tumim, he could lie this, and he could lie that, he could lie this, and a whole shtickle there. So I remember Rabbi Willick said at the time, he said, it's a good thing that Rabbi Yosef Eibershitz was on our team, that he wasn't from the Ganovim, because he could have outsmarted any Ganov in the world. So the Vases got to outsmart the Bali Dover. So here the Bali Dover are proposing some kind of a claim, and we're saying that we're going to believe you to say X because maybe you could have said Y. Why is that? Because saying Y would have been easier for you. So that's al chacha. You're probably telling the truth. So that's the biur in Ukos Migo. The Migo is basically a biur. Biur is like a rove. It's a statistic. It's a 95% chance. Like a rude delay sick a month. 95% chance that you're probably telling the truth. But then there's a whole different word in terms of Migo. Maybe Migo is a different word. Migo is not really Mavar or anything. Migo is what's called, again, this is Rashivas have different lingos. Some Rashivas say Zuchus HaTayna, some say Kaya HaTayna, some say Namonas Baldin B'Tanoso. It's all the same story. What it means is, this is the unique halacha Nuchas, based in Nuchas Tonim, that the halacha is that when two Bali Din come to the entire Revela Mishpat Mishatas Mulefnem, Bibal Devar Migo Shalehem. Each one has to present the Tainas. The one with the best Tainas wins. So usually, how do you determine what's the best Taina? So basically, you got to listen and say, well, Reuven's Tainaing that Shimon broke his window. Shimon's Tainaing he didn't break his window. What's a better Taina? Go for a call, not a cover call, mother mixes. So again, you have a whole Hilchas Toim and Itan. That's what all of the Mamas is all about. Trying for the Bezin to try to figure out who's advancing the better Taina. So the best Taina will win. So comes Hilchas Migo and says that in Hilchas Tainas, how to determine what's a better Taina, you don't only determine it based on what's actually said, you determine what could be said also. What's written in the guy's notebook means what he theoretically had, what he had up his sleeve, even though he didn't actually say it, that all goes into Bezin's Cheshbon to determine what's the greater Taina. Now, why would anybody say such a thing? There must be some possible to this. Some Zerzikha, that's what the Rishonim write. It's a Din Minat Torah Migo, we can't quite pin down where it is. So it's not, Migo is not a biro, Migo is not a proof, it's not a 98% chance that I'm probably telling the truth. I don't know what the odds are, it's probably what the odds are, but in Hukh's based, in Hukh's telling him, so to the best time, he's going to win the case. So Chayra, this question is now the root of the issue that the Rishonim are raising. Does Migo really make any sense in terms of Hilchos Eidus? So Taisus, Narvan, all the Rishonim are asking the question, let's use Migo to be Makshir and Eidus. Migo, I could have said, Gazlana Matam, you should believe me, to say that Reuben did or did not break the window. So that idea of invoking it was Migo and Eidus, that we have to stop and say, wait a second, does that make any sense to even ask the question? Forget about the technical answers. Does the question make any sense? So if you hold that Hilchos Migo is a biror, Hilchos Migo is just a way, a method for Beis Din to be mevarer what the truth is, so then the question makes sense. Beis Din has two sets of Edom in front of them. Two Edom are saying he broke the window. Two Edom are saying he didn't break the window. Beis Din has no idea who's telling the truth. So let's go through our list of birurim to try to figure out what's the best way to be mevarer the emes. Oh, we fall upon Migo. Again, Migo may not work because of technicalities. Maybe it's Hosafos birurim, it's tricky. Okay, so there may be technical quirks when Migo isn't going to work, but at least the question got off the ground. At least it makes sense. At least the question was logical. Let's use the rule of Migo as a biror to try to get to the bottom of the story. But if you go the second route of Migo, Migo is not a biror b'chlal. Migo is not a biror. You know what Migo is? Migo is a din in Hilchos Beis Din. Migo is a method that we use in terms of Hilchos Tainus, how to determine who has the better Tainus of the two. So when we are in that area of Halacha called Tainus, when we're trying to figure out which Baldover is telling the truth, so then you can invoke the principle of Migo. But when you're Hilchos Beis Din, it's not Tainus B'chlal. I mean, their tainus is amazing, but they're all people tainting. Only the Bali Dover are tainting, the Bali Din are tainting, the Edom are tainting, the Edom are giving Edus. So when the question doesn't even get off the ground, it's a silly question. The Taisus bought with the Kasha, let's invoke Migo. What do you mean Migo? What does Migo have to do anything? It's like saying, well, learning Hilchos Shechitah, let's invoke a principle from Hilchos Edus. I know. It's a different area of Halacha B'chlal. The whole Parsha Migo doesn't get off the ground. So Kol Panim, you see at least from these Rishonim, we'll ask the question, these Rishonim held that Migo would have been applicable in Hilchos Dayanim, in Hilchos Bali Div. It would have been applicable, if not for a technical quirk. There's a quirk in Hilchos Edus that prevents it, there's a quirk in Hilchos Biru that prevents it, there were quirks that prevent the application. But B'Ikaron, there's nothing in Hilchos Migo that prevents the application. Whereas if you go with the other Mahalach, that it's Hilchos Migo that prevents it, so then the whole question doesn't get off the ground in the first place. It is already a famous word from the Rav Chan and others as to what the truth of Migo is. Is Migo ultimately one, or is Migo ultimately the other? It may be that both sides of the Chakira may be correct. I mean, they may find that there may be Hilchos Migos that work with Torah's Bira, there may be other kinds of Migos that work with Torah's Chusatan, Krachatan, the Mos, whatever you want to call it. So this may be one of those Chakiras where it's not A or B, maybe A, B, B. There may be some degree of truth to both of the sides of this Chakira. But I call upon him, at least in terms of the question of the Rishonim, any Rishon who's asking the question is assuming there's some degree of Bira behind this, and other Rishonim who will be Chlam not even gurus the question, it may be that they hold that the question didn't even get off the ground because it was never really a Bira issue in the first place. So at least we understand a little bit about the Parsha of Edom Zom, a little bit about the Parsha of Gazlana Matem, a little bit about why every Achosha is not a Gazlana Matem. Hopefully, once you're back, we have to go back to Edi Achosha and understand what do we do with Edi Achosha. So Tachlis, you have two Edom say Reuben killed Shimon, two say he didn't, two say he broke the window, two say he didn't. So Tachlis, what do you do? So you throw the case out, but where do you go from there? What's the status of the Edom from here on in? So we'll have to talk about this next year.